The Saints may have found two stars at each end, Max Hall and Alex Tyrou.
Man, we've been on the Tyrou bandwagon right from the start.
The Flying Viking. One of our panellists used to coach Max Hall. We called it early. Sadly, we just fell short to the Dockers in a winnable game. Let's break it down on Saints or Sinners. Saints or Sinners, episode 20. Can you believe that? Episode 20. If you follow St Kilda FC, love the AFL, love fantasy, trivia, and a bit of banter, well then stay tuned because this is the podcast for you. Three of our hosts are passionate Saints fans. Our fourth, we're not sure who he goes for. He is a footy coach that brings us back to reality, and once again, we've been brought back to reality. On today's episode, our game against the Freo Dockers, our line keg segment with Coach Proc where he breaks down Ross Lyon's game plan. We'll give out our Saint or Sinner of the round. Find out who's going to be under the microscope in our GT pressure rating. Slide indoors with yours where we track back to would have, could have been. Fan mail from our Instagram DMs, which is at Saints or Sinners Pod. And fantasy tips from Saint Trenner. And we might even preview our game against the Hawks next weekend.
Oh, Hawks. Family will be up and about for that one.
To keep the podcast moving and stop it from being stagnant, we break it up every 4 or so minutes with a trivia question. So when you hear the siren sound, we're going to ask all you at home a St Kilda-related trivia question. So play along and have some fun. And if you enjoy what you hear and want to hear us weekly, you can follow us on Spotify and or Apple Podcasts. And we'd also love if you take less than 5 seconds to hit that 5-star rating button. All right, now, a footy podcast is nothing without a panel. And we have a good mix of talent here for you today. So let's introduce them. Joining us today, a new fan favourite. Firstly, a man who has spent 35 plus years watching St Kilda games, which equates to over 700 games of watching the Saints. He's no stranger to flames and fire, leading the kitchen crew through many 5-star restaurants across Melbourne, Sydney and Sri Lanka. Now working as a head chef of a restaurant in Brighton, it's our head chef, Yoz.
Oh, thank you for that lovely introduction. And we got a few new dishes out in Brighton, so if you're in the area, pop by and say hello. Classic Asian dishes I'm rolling
What's
out.
The place called?
It's Buffalo Boy.
Buffalo Boy.
Beautiful. All right, here
Little plug.
A fantasy fanatic finishing in the top 100. If you recognise those mini matches or match highlights on the AFL app, it's because this panellist has produced over 1,500 games of match highlights working for the AFL himself. It's our fantasy fanatic, St Trenner.
I've got a favourite fantasy player who's only got under 100 three times this year, and he plays for the Saints. I'll reveal it later.
Wait, can we have a new fantasy gallery for spoils? Because Tyrou will be a fantasy star.
It's our non-St Kilda fan panellist who we are up against tonight. He was a former AFL athletes development coach, a former VFL head coach, and now the current head coach of the North Ballarat Football Club, who I heard had a win yesterday. But nonetheless, being married to a St Kilda wife and her family has meant he's had to sit through game after game being forced to watch the Saints. It is a man who will bring us all back to reality. It's Coach Proc.
Hey lads, how's it going? Let's just chill out on the Viking, right? Just take it easy. You spoiled a lot. But
we got a sound effect for him and everything.
No chilling out, mate.
No, come on. Don't put this on him. I mean, he had 15 spoils, but he only had 9 possessions.
Yeah, exactly the best 9 game possession you've seen, mate.
Yeah, it's outrageous.
I've been clinging after 35 years. This is what I'm clinging to. He's going to be the game changer for this club. When he spoiled it, how the defenders congregated around him, the energy it brought, that's what I'm saying. That's
I think that'll be the theme of tonight's episode, talking about the Flying Viking. Hosting today is myself, Jules Bolge. I was the former host of AFL Bites, which was on the Footy Live app, looking to bring you some stats and carry out the agenda for today. All right, we got through the intro. Let's just get straight into the action. So, Saints against the Dockers today, we fell short 69-81. I won't recap the match because we all just watched it, but noticeable players for us were obviously Max Hall and Alex Tyrou, and I thought Hugo Garcia stood out as well.
Yes.
Leading possession getter for the game was actually Jordan Clark with 31 disposals in that back line for Freo. Wangalee Malira, no surprises there. He led the game with 28 disposals. And who led the game with goals? It must have been Tracy, right? He had three goals from memory. So, boys, and everyone listening, I'm going to reveal, we asked last week, what do we call the segment for Yoz where he goes on his rants? And we actually had a couple of DMs from people saying they love Yoz's rants.
What is it?
So I've got something that I made up. Let's see if this works.
Here we go. This is the well thought out.
Shopping fans, hold on tight. It's time for the chef's knife.
Yeah. The chef's knife. Let's do it.
With the knives clicking together.
All right,
shall we get into it? The chef's knife.
Who's the chef's knife? What are you doing?
Get stuck into the Saints.
I might complain about someone.
It's just a chef's knife, a special.
Well thought out thoughts that I express. I get a bit passionate about it. But we can't fault the effort this week, can we? They were good. There was in the contest.
I think the chef knife, if we want to talk about the chef knife for a minute, it's just got to be whatever you feel like needs to be cut. You know, like just, you know, no, not cut from the list or anything like that, but like let's cut it out. Let's just go through it all. Yeah, you know?
Okay. Well, like I said, it was hard to fault the effort this week. They're really good in the contest. Excellent winning the ball. I thought we're like Marshall Steele, best game in a long time. And I thought from the opening bounce, what really got me into the chef's knife complaint last week was the one to tackle, the one to chase, harass. It was infectious today, and where did it start from? Our man Garcia. It was so good to see him back in the team because he was all over Sarong the whole day, giving it to him, and he was really good exiting the stoppage. So I thought that was really good. What annoyed me at the start, I didn't like Henry starting on the bench. If you're going to have him in the team, he's there for – he's not going to cook up 20, 30, 25 possessions. He's not going to have 10 tackles. He's there for that one-off little bit of class in the forward line. We saw that today. We did the banana snap, but he put it through.
It's a good handball too, late. Very good handball.
And he's the one who set up Owens. Yeah. But that's the moments you're going to get from him, that class in the forward half. So we know he might be a bit out of shape. Jules went and saw him when he was well entrenched in the reserves and he was struggling. But that's the type of player he's going to be, I think. Yeah. You just got to have him in the team and on the ground. I didn't like Trevelyan starting on the bench again. Mm-hmm. I don't see the point in it. Especially when we see, which we'll come up in our slide indoors, who's a little gun who plays for Frio, Clint?
Which one? Sarong?
No, the classic forward.
Dudley? Tracy, you name them all.
No, the first year pick, Murphy.
Oh, Murphy Reed.
Sandry named Dragons player, yeah.
Was he Sandy?
Yes, another reason, yeah. But anyway, like no real complaints until I got to our man up front, Dan Butler. So forget saying a senior, but I thought I thought Dan, as a senior member of the leadership group, a guy who hasn't played much footy this year, I thought his effort was absolutely pathetic. It's like he had twice running back to the goal, he had open marks that he spilled, and then he was trying these dinky, cagey little kicks in the forward line, and there was nothing convincing about it. And then the worst thing, he gave that 50 away on the wing, which they kicked a goal from, and that was to Jordan Clark. And if you go back and watch it on replay, the ball was kicked to the contest, and he had a look round, and he elected not to go up with his man, and he tried to stay down and get the easy ball, which Clark took the mark, and then he gave the 50 away. And I just thought it was really shitty, and it was endemic of our forward line today. I thought it was non-existent and made it really hard with our midfield dominance. Got nothing from Sharman. Owens is going through a really tough patch again where he's getting three guys sitting on him, but just not working. Higgins in full Dean Kent mode. He's really struggling these days. He wasn't even trying the round the corner kicks that were annoying us. He was trying to kick him through, straight through. But he really battled. Well, that was it. I didn't like Butler's. But I thought otherwise we were pretty solid today. So not that many complaints.
Beautiful. Oh, wow. Siren times nicely after the rant from yours. That was very nice for the chef's side.
One thing also about Henry. I'm getting texts from my mum about him as well. Mum sent me a text. What was he? Who's that curly haired brown guy? And she can get away with that type of thing because she's married one of the darkest guys ever. By the way, when you're getting texts from your mum, you know Liam Henry's making an impact.
Good to see it. All right, so our first trivia, we're back to our cryptic clues again. Now, if it's too easy, this one, maybe just wait 5 seconds so the audience at home can have a turn to answer. I share a name with a famous Collingwood champion. My surname is the name of a popular shopping street in the Melbourne CBD. The panel are looking at each other, thinking. Oh. I want to say it again. I share a first name with a famous Collingwood champion. My surname is the name of a popular shopping street in the Melbourne CBD.
I think I've got it.
Oh,
yeah. Nathan Burke.
Burke.
Oh, correct.
Yeah, Burke Street. Nathan Buckley. Yes, nice.
Beautiful.
Oh, that's
nice.
Shall we roll into our man?
Oh, we're already.
Why not? Address what y'all said. Tie it in with your segment.
Okay, lads. No worries. Yeah, look, I thought the Saints, obviously, you know, it was a really good game. And they brought the heat, played with the chip on their shoulder, rolled their sleeves up and got to work. And the selection helped that as well. Garcia coming in, Henry, a bit of bit of life up forward. That was really good. So, you know, they jammed the stoppages up. That was really evident and got on top in the clearances. So what you would have seen, they kept their winger as a sweep, but they brought in a forward in behind it and then supported it from the shoulder as well. So Henry and Hall were sort of hanging around. And it would have just looked like there was only four forwards essentially in St Kilda's forward line, and basically eight in around the stoppages, which was real heavy. But it's what Ross wanted, and it really worked well. Didn't give Sarong, Brayshaw any free run out of there. They were always jamming them up, and obviously got on top. And I thought the game was really well set up. Particularly that it was a front half game. So didn't want it to be a fast transition game, just needed to take it inside 50 and try and keep it there as long as you could. And I thought that the Saints played a perfect, perfect game, but unfortunately just got done with talent in the end. Because if you just think about it, the last quarter, those prime movers, they got off the chain a bit. Brayshaw, Sarong, they started to really show up. And that's what happens, in footy. You're playing for 120 minutes. That's always going to be the case. And I just thought, really Tracy and Jackson were too big in the end. And when you want to move the ball direct and you start getting tired, that's what happens. But one of the things that I think that they did miss a trick with the Saints, and this is a small little thing, but it's enough. If you're going to play that way, you need to make sure you're rotating your bench. And I was quite surprised when I looked at it. The time on ground from a lot of the players is quite low. So Hunter, Clark, I don't know, did he get a knock? Did he come off?
No, I thought he was
fine. No, he's time on ground.
So 55%. Wow. Travaglia, 55. Liam Henry, 64. Keeler, 64. Butler obviously got subbed out. So, you only got him in the 60s as well. But then if you look at Fremantle, it's a clear outlier. The lowest Freo had is 68, and then it's from there it's in the 70s and 70+. So it just looked like, for me, that the game opened up, of course, but the Saints just I reckon they just ran out of legs a little bit. And I just thought that maybe Ross is trying to hide a few lads. Not hide them, but the reality is he's got heavy game time for a few boys. And potentially that could have been a difference in the end.
That is an exceptional pickup, Proc, because I thought the Saints, especially Caminiti, he had his hands on his head at the end of the game when we got burned. And, he got beaten on the lead a few times. He had 100% game time. And, wow, that is a really good pickup because, we rotate these players so often, but we leave a few stars on, especially more so in the back line and forward line. Like, you see Sharman, Wilkie, obviously always have 95-plus time on ground.
Yeah.
Jack Sinclair had 92% today, Mason Wood. But, maybe a spell or just having more time into Clark and those other players, supporting players, might have helped.
Potentially.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're 100%. Like, they definitely stepped it up in that last quarter for you in the middle. Yep. And then having those targets, Tracy and who's a big fella, Jackson down there.
Yep.
Was a step above what we had. So I thought it was quite stark, like their entries when they stepped it up and wanted out of the clearance in the last quarter, they're kicking into 50 line. Obviously they had the two targets.
Yeah, the marking option. A lot better. Yeah. Obviously, but I think the fatigue played a factor in that potentially. Yeah. But you look at the numbers, the Saints won everything. They 15 plus in clearances, 38 plus in disposals. They got their 90, nearly 100 marks. So it's a great profile for the Saints. It's what they win off. But marks inside 50 minus 8, so 7 to 15. That was pretty alarming in that sense. But what the issue is, right? Haven't got King there yet. You haven't really got that synergy in the front half, and that's going to be a consistent problem until they get there.
But I also thought, consistently from the first quarter, the way we kick it inside 50 or exiting out of the stoppages, I find it really frustrating. They're, really hacked. Kicks out of there. Even I understand if you're under pressure, but some of them they just hack it out and they're like I said last week, these NFL kind of punt kicks that just hang in there, which is ideal for the opposition to come there and spoil or take the intercept marks. And who are the number one culprits? It's the two experienced guys, McCray. He's kicking out of the contest is pretty poor.
Yeah, he's got to get his handball going.
Steele was really good in the contest today. It was a bit of the old Jack Steele, I thought, but he's kicking out of the contest is pretty poor. And, there were so many times going into the forward line where we just had kicked it in or kicks that weren't to advantage. And I thought it was quite opposite with Freo.
Yep.
All right, second trivia question. I share a first name with a popular American singer and actor, dubbed the Prince of Pop. My surname is three parts, a form of lettuce, a swear word, and something that opens doors.
What the hell?
Really going to have to break this one down.
Saints player.
I share a first name with a popular American singer and actor, dubbed the Prince of Pop.
Prince of Pop.
Oh, that's Pop, what's his name? Old mate, Prince of LA or whatever. Will Smith.
Has to be Prince of Pop.
King of Pop is Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson. Prince.
I've actually got it.
Prince.
I've got it.
One for the youngest.
Look at that stump here.
I'll say the first name. So the first name is Justin. So Justin Timberlake. So do the surname now.
Bullshit, he's the prince.
My surname is three parts. A form of lettuce, a swear word, and something that opens doors.
Come on, chef. We should know the lettuce.
A type of lettuce or a form of lettuce?
Come on, chef.
I'm getting technical. I can name different lettuces.
Well, give us a rundown of the lettuce.
Cos lettuce. Go on.
Show us lettuce. Cos. Yeah, what else?
Cos.
Yep. And a swear word?
Kaczynski. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Justin Timberlake. Justin
Kaczynski. With these clues.
Oh, my God. That's brilliant.
To be fair, Cos is spelled C-O-S. I'm very technical with our food too.
Fragrance and Cos lettuce now.
Are there any other lettuces out there? Like
Cos, gem, plenty, butter lettuce.
Oh, wow.
Red oak lettuce and plenty of them.
Oh.
That's how I got it because I only knew Cos lettuce. Anyway. Brock, so where did it actually go wrong for us? I know you touched upon like what we did right, and obviously we said that entry inside 50 wasn't great, but yeah, the Saints fans watching and the ones messaging me on Instagram live, and I was watching it
kicking for goal,
kicking for goal. Like we dominated so much, it was a game that we probably would have considered winnable. Max Hoar was our great link-up man. Last week on the episode, you talked about the launch zone.
Best on
and
ground.
I said we needed a Grian Meyer sort of player, and Hall was doing that today. Brilliantly. Obviously, we hit the post one too many times. We got the yips in front of goal with Higgins and Mason Wood, and Owens was outnumbered. But
can I just say, what has happened to me? One of the best kicks, beautiful kick for goal in the last 2 weeks. He's got the yips, man. He doesn't know whether to kick around the corner.
He
doesn't know whether to kick in front. Yeah, it's in his head, definitely.
Well, it's a worry when Isaac Keeler's your bloody most reliable kicker.
He's a beautiful kick. He's a beautiful kick for goal.
Yeah.
We do so much right just to not finish it off, you know? Like,
the problem is he got three kicks for the whole match.
Yeah.
He kicked two goals. But that's what you got to take that with Keeler. Just play him, getting back. You got manhandled in the ruck by big Sean Darcy, who's a bit comical to watch, actually.
I guess if you were the coach, right, what are you doing at training to get that final polish like that we're missing at the moment? Is it just experience that just comes with playing games? Like that we're, because I thought we were a bit cleaner than last week. We did some quick handballs, which was nice. Sometimes we overdid it.
Keep Henry on the ground.
Yeah,
it does make a huge difference.
Yeah, keep him on. Oh, look, it's a hard, honestly, it's just it's the journey of growth. Yeah. Like, it's just the way it is because your forward line is still, like, makeshift. It's not what you want, respectfully, you know, because you don't have King in there. You're still missing, who else was it?
We're missing quite a few players. We're missing Dougal Howard, we're missing King.
There's another forward connector, isn't there? I forget. Oh, anyway.
TDK.
TDK to come in, whatnot. But I think you're still a real slippery, decent, small forward, maybe short, unless Henry's going to be that guy, like that really,
that really
tidies up.
Like you said, from
but
that target.
I just think it's a growth thing. Like, it's just maturity and takes time, and they just need a body of work to get there.
Well, it's definitely, like, more positive in seeing a loss like this than the one where you get thumped by 75 points and you got 10 guys over 30 in the team. And, like, we'll go.
Yeah, I think that's going to tie really nicely into our Saint or Sinner of the Round.
Perfect.
I'm looking forward to this one. I'm going to sit back and let you guys jump forward first because I can imagine the names that are going to come forward.
I'll probably take one.
In the episode title themselves. But anyway, nonetheless, who would you like to kick us off? Yoz,
no,
kick us
go
off
go
with the
Saint
because or
I don't
want
you. If you steal mine, I don't want to.
No.
You're going to go Maxi?
Nah.
I got other one.
Oh, I can go Maxi if you want. You boys are all going to go Maxi. I'll let you blokes go Maxi.
I'll go on my love child at the moment.
Oh, this is Taru.
The Viking, mate.
All right, I'll go.
You go first.
Oh, it was a breakout performance, wasn't it, with Maxi?
Oh, yeah, but definitely.
You know, 21 possessions, goal. He was so clean. Yeah, I love that tackle he took on, mate. You know, and set up that goal.
Yeah.
That's a big moment just to come through that and be really strong and then get the hands out and then they get a goal from it. Those are really big moments and, you know, that's when you start to say, like, oh, he's made it. Mm. Like he looks like a serious player now that's going to hold his own and because he struggled 2-3 weeks ago and I thought, oh, he might get dropped, you know, maybe he needs a run. But he got through that and that's a great sign of maturity that, like, okay, I can have a down day and then bounce and come back and then he's at his best game, his PB game. So, and what he brings, like as I've said to you guys before, he's such a humble young man. Like he's tough, he's attacking. You know, mate, he works incredibly hard, and I have no doubt Ross would love him because he's so like he's everything that Ross loves in a player. You know, tough at it, contested ball, clean, and then just a great role player. Will do anything for the team as well. So yeah, tip my hat to Maxi. Really happy for him to play to get that game.
Yeah, I think if we can equate, I think he was like before he's a good, solid, hard worker. Yeah. That Andrew McWalter, Rob Eddy kind of mold of Rossi half forward.
But his kicking's better. His kicking's got really good. And one of the things I'll share with everyone, actually, he had when he was at Box Hill, he couldn't turn left.
Okay.
One of the most randomest things. He was you know how left footers can't, like they just swing onto their left foot all the time? Maxi was like a right footer version. He couldn't swing onto his left. So I remember we had to teach him one night. We had to teach him over weeks. Now turn left, turn left, turn left, turn left. Because he'd just come out of stoppages and turn right only, right hand, and then he would never have 360. But he's really coachable. He was able to get that out of his game, add it to his game, become a 360 player where he can pivot, move, and move the ball in different angles. And, yeah, he's been superb. So, yeah, well done, Maxi. Good job.
I just think, like, the thing you see that stands out as well, every time he gets a ball, he's assessing where he's kicking it inside 50. He lowers the eyes, looks at the options, and 90% of the time he hits it.
And you know what suited him today as well? They played him as an extra mid, basically. Yeah. He was up high in the contest and then ripped out. Yeah. And like I've said to you guys all along, he's a midfielder, actually not a forward.
Mm.
But he's a great player and he's making that his own. So awesome.
Yeah. Great to see. I'm just going to list some numbers when I give my say into the round now. For the past 5 weeks, 36 disposals, 29 disposals, 27 disposals, 36 and 35. Now, those are the numbers that Caleb Sarong has had over the last 6 weeks. Whoa. He's been in outstanding form, and there was a lot of chatter during the week about Marcus Windhager and would he be going to Sarong, and Sarong had said in the news that he's prepared for Marcus Windhager, and I knew Ross would have something up his sleeve. So a lot of people were thinking that he'd send Marcus Windhager to Brayshaw, but he actually sent him to no one. Except he sent Hugo Garcia to Sarong, and what a field day Garcia had. He kept Sarong. So those are the numbers I read out the last 6 weeks. How many disposals do you think Sarong had tonight?
What do you have?
18.
Oh, that's great.
So Garcia absolutely killed him. It was a great, great tagging job. And it's good to see that we can have someone like Hugo Garcia go in there and tag so we don't have to, you know, sacrifice Windhager's game. So that was very clever from Ross. But I also love his toughness. As we've said, you know, it's funny, you see Garcia on the side and you expect 8 to 10 tackles from him. But tonight, you think he only registered one tackle. It seemed like a lot more, though, because he was stuck to Sarong like glue. And the one thing I love about having Garcia on the team is he's fierce and he doesn't take a backward step. So he was rubbing Sarong's head when we scored a goal. He was tangling with him and Sarong was getting really frustrated.
That's good.
Out of the contest.
10 clearances, too.
Yeah.
Massive. So he wasn't tackling because he was getting the clearances. Yep.
So great performance from Garcia and what a return to the senior side.
Yeah, well, I think like he got his rising
star. Boys,
he's his best.
You boys have been calling for him all along. I've tipped my hats here. Good job.
If people are wondering why Jack Steele had a better game, it's because Garcia was feeding him the little quick handballs out of the contest. So very good. We've got to keep him in there, I think. Yoz, all right, you can take it. Who's press your saint on the round? I'm going to press it before you even say it.
Here he comes, Boxall. Boxall. Who is his man, Boxall?
If you want to go on the Boxall, just...
Go on.
I will go.
Get Peter Nice going. Come on.
How many games has Boxall played? 4 games. Considering he was one of the best performed in the preseason, and he's been consistently best for Sandy in the reserves, and considering our age profile, and considering we're not winning any games, and considering our midfield struggles, how has he only played 4 games? But anyway, there's only one man we want to talk about, and that is the buying Viking. And Clint is obviously voice of reason, tempering the thing, but there's no tempering with this guy. Do you see how... The thing is, it's how he flies for every... There's no thought. There's he flies for everything, whether it's a mark or a sport.
That's why I call him the flying Viking, right?
Phil Schofield was in love with him. Jason, you can see why the commentator... Jason Dunstall loves him from last week. You can see why he just flies for everything that spoils. And that... Every time he spoiled it, that one that dumped it, his teammates congregated around him. It just lifts the whole team. But also in the third quarter, he clunked a couple of those contested marks. So it made a huge difference. He just beelines the ball straight ahead. A couple of great tackles. He had that bad turnover in the last quarter, but that's fine. It's going to happen. But that's why, okay, if go watch a few highlights of Peter Knight's I'm just that is a type of straight ahead marking.
I actually did, and he does do that. He comes off and just spoils.
He's got blonde hair. This guy is going to change his club.
Yoz, it's funny. We were on the group chat because the commentators were loving him all game. So they were really hyping him up, which is great because it's been a long time since they've hyped up the Saints youngster.
Second game.
But then they had to go and ruin it by saying that he reminds us of Sam Gilbert. I mean... That's no disrespect to Sam Gilbert, but shouldn't we be aiming for higher?
I was on the WhatsApp and it was like Peter Knights and then straight up that Will Schofield. Mate, he reminds me of Sam Gilbert.
I saw Sam Gilbert had 33 possessions and 21 hitouts for the Noble Park Bulls playing in a ruck on the weekend.
Okay, so that on that form we'll take that comparison. But otherwise,
but Taru, no, he's not Gilbert. he's better than Gilbert.
He's better than Gilbert. I agree. No one since saw Sammy. He was a great player in that 09, 10, 11 era. But not great.
Role player.
So, Yoz, you're obviously a big fan of this Flying Viking. Can you spell his first name for us? Because a lot of people are struggling.
L-I-X.
Yep. Z-A-N-D-E-R.
I'm so excited. I went and bought the Heritage jumper.
Have you got his number?
And I'm getting the number. 26 is going on there. 26. I'm just worried they're going to bump him up next year.
Any old Del Santo jumpers going around with 26 so that you could borrow?
It was incredible watching him leap all over the place. Yeah. A classic example of how our stats don't always tell the story. At halftime, he had 3 disposals, but was probably our second best on ground.
Impactful.
Finished the game on 9 disposals, but wow, all the Saints fans are raving on about him. Wow, just when the ball goes inside 50, which had happened, I think, 49 times for the Dockers, just to have that guy just flying off the screen into it, it's going to be exciting to watch that for the next 10-plus years.
He's going to be a dominating centre-half. Half-back. He's going to be that type of player. And just once he gets his feet, he's going to be able to swing forward and be that elite.
Take it easy. Let him be a defender first. He's played 2 games. He's swinging in forward ready to win it for you.
Take it easy, mate.
What the hell? Let this guy just become a player first.
I'm going hard on this player. Yeah. Going to be the guy that...
Don't be one of those who keeps swing him everywhere and be nowhere.
We're going to jump straight to a question. I think you guys have nailed the 3 Saints for today. I don't know. I'm looking through the numbers and I thought, you know, Wenger and Balira led the game, but who else really for the Saints? So.
Don't worry about the Saints. There's still a few sinners out there.
Oh, that's right. Well, shit,
yeah. Anyway, it's time to trivia.
GT pressure rating. We'll get him.
I share a first name with a popular Italian shoe brand. My surname is something your mum always reminds you to do when you leave your house or car.
Is it Louis someone? Louis.
I'll repeat.
I think you lost Clint and I a popular Italian shoe.
No, I thought it might be like Louis Vuitton. Is that a shoe?
Yeah.
No.
Gucci.
What is that? Julius Marley.
You might have better luck with the surname, but I share a first name with a popular Italian shoe brand. My surname is something your mum always reminds you to do when you leave your house or your car.
Lock the door.
Lock.
Lock. Who's the last name? Lock. Lockett. Tony?
Tony Lockett.
What's the shoe?
Tony Bianco. I'm sure your wife has a few. 5 or 6 pairs.
Oh, wow. Yeah, she would. That's for sure. Tony Bianco.
Oh, dude. Anyone at home get that? Please let us know in the DM. Wow.
Lockett.
I think we might. We should move straight onto our GT pressure rating then because I feel like. Oh, that's fantasy. Whoops. There it is. Who wants to kick off our GT pressure rating? It looks like people want to get stuck into a few
Saints. Someone needs to go first.
Trent can go. Come on, Trent. You're up. You're the man.
Who's under the microscope?
All right. Well, I'll tell you who's under the microscope. Someone that I had deemed a sainter about 5-6 rounds ago, and I was saying how great it was that the whole footy world was praising him and he was making headlines for potentially making the All-Australian side. And then what does he do since then? He returns 0 goals, 1. 1 goal, 1 0 goals, 1 goal, 2 I don't know what's happened to Jack Higgins. He started the year on fire. He was looking so good. He got all the hype in the world, and then he's just faded off the universe. What's happened, you guys?
Dean Kent mode, fully Dean Kent mode, mate.
So the pressure's on. I was going to say the pressure's on Higo because I know he was carrying us for the first half of the season, but now he's been given some good opportunities and some reasonably easy set shots in front of goal, and he's just squandered them. He had a good chance tonight to get us off on a good step, and he missed his first shot, and then they went down the other end, and Tracy scored the opening goal. So, come on, Higo.
In the fourth quarter, he had a chance to nail one as well to bring us back again, and he missed it, and they went straight down the other end, and Tracy nailed it.
Exactly, and now we've got some good cavalry around him that he should feel better now. He's got Dan Butler there, he's now got Liam Henry there, so he's got Max Hall playing well, so we need a lift from you, Higo.
Confidence is down. Is he got?
He's definitely out of the side now.
Got to his 30 goals and he's shut it down for the year.
He's out of the All Australian side right now. You'd say, but how does he get back in there? I would love if he finishes with a bag of he needs to do have a couple games of 3+ goals, I think, to somehow squeeze in there. But
yeah, the confidence looks down. What are you? He's got to get in there and crack in there, isn't he? He looked like he was a bit hesitant today. I think like when Dan Butler kicked his goal as well, he's giving Jack, come on, Jack, we got one. It was that kind of thing. He just feels like he's going through that period. So, Quinn, what can we do to get him up and about?
Yeah, well, mate, what, Higgins?
Oh, the Jugo, a couple of Joe the Gooses. In
yeah, absolutely, square. Absolutely. Yeah, just give him a nice cheap one, make him feel good.
I will say, I watched the Hawks-North Melbourne game, and the Wizard Watson, he went into the centre and kicked one of the potential goal of the years, they're calling it.
So he got the clearance,
they got the
time.
Handball back, bang. And I was like,
put Higgins
you
in
said
there.
Higgins should go in there. Watson has only had, I think, 9 or 13 centre bounce attendances, which is like 2% of his time. But why can't we just do that with
Jack? Just one or two.
Just to get him the ball, get him into the game. They do it with Papley.
It's great. Yeah, it's a good move. I don't know why they don't do it. Anyway.
I didn't really prepare anyone for the GT pressure rating, but I did watch, everyone knows I watch Ross Lyon's press conferences before and after the game, and he keeps slipping in this line about, we want to be the best Saints ever, the best St Kilda ever.
Really?
Yeah, he keeps saying that. And I just want to say, don't go there, Ross, because you had the best Saints ever when you had Riewoldt, Gehrig, Montagna, Kaczynski, Goddard, Hayes. Who else am I missing? Dal Sano. You have the best Saints ever, all
But that's what he's saying. He wants to be the best by topping that. And
but you're not going
that?
To. No one's topping that team that we had in 2009.
Yeah, but not this year. But maybe they...
No, but even in the future, no one's topping that team.
You could.
That's why he's selling...
But Gehrig, Riewoldt, Montagna, Milne, Hayes, Goddard, Dal Sano.
You could. You could. If King... You got the Viking now. You got King. You got TDK. You
just need
he's done.
Possibly.
He's done. Surely he's done. He's coming.
Although I am starting.
And now
to
you
worry.
Just need one more midfielder. Matthew Rowell, you're good to go.
I think we're overrating our team. That team in 2009 was something else.
We got linked to Matt Rowell by Tom Rice that we offered him $2 million a season. Yeah,
good.
Are you going to offer $2 million? That's ridiculous. I know that ridiculous that he reported. There's no way we're offering $2 million for a midfielder.
Yoz, who's under your GT pressure rating?
Well, it's a toss-up. The forward line was, I thought it was shocking. And Higo, like you said, he's been there. But like Owens and who's my other mate, Sharman, like they were on fire in the first half of the season. I think they'd bagged about all of them. Obviously, Jack had bagged about 30, but they'd bagged about 16 or 17. They're both gone cold. So I think a forward line is true. But also, who am I putting under pressure rating? Naz. We need, like, I've always been confident that he's going to sign the 2-year deal. Mm. But needs to sign it. What's it's dragging it out like worst cock tease ever, mate. But he needs to. What's happening?
Is he teasing us? What's going on?
It is a tease, but like at a point, either you're going to sign or you're not. And it's round 18 next week. I think you'll sign for the 2 years. But even I'm starting to waver a bit in confidence.
He must be loving it deep down. Brock, do you have anyone for the GT pressure rating?
Oh, I'd have to put it on Butler.
Yeah, man. Like, I thought he was really bad today.
He got to mark that, that like, one that Maxi kicks to him running back to goal. Like, that, you know, what is it? The left-hander, he got a little, you know, he's a good little player. He's Banfield, you know, he works hard. He works at both ends. But, like, you just got to come through that market. You got to mark that, right? And they're coach killers. Yeah. Like, real coach killers, they call them, because it's like, that's a goal. How is that not a goal? And then you're like back to square one and they score off
it. That's 12
and he just had some poor moments. And I was really disappointed because I remember about 3 or 4 weeks ago, he kicked 4. He looked fit, sharp. It's like, wow, this guy looks come back and just hungry. And now he's just back playing. It's just like, you know, look like he's sort of half going through the motions a bit. Like, I don't know. Like, I just needs a bit of attitude adjustment, I reckon. Just come on, mate. Like, need to be a leader now because he's been around long enough. And a performance like that, you know, it's not good enough.
He's in the leadership group.
There you go. Yeah.
Well said.
All right, let's hope this goes better than the last one. I share a first name with a popular Adam Sandler movie involving the devil. My surname is two parts, a victory and a popular abbreviation for mother.
Too easy.
Yeah.
Champion. Nicky Wimmer.
Jeez, just got that quick.
Nicky Wimmer.
You were right in my wheelhouse. He went from Italian fashion to Adam Sandler movies.
Little Nicky. Underrated classic. And then a victory win.
Superstar,
popular abbreviation
Nicky.
For mother, Ma.
Good play. A really good play.
All right, so let's do our new. It's time for fan mail from the Saints, the center, Saints, the grounds. All right, we're going to get into our fan mail. We actually only just chucked this out an hour ago and we're recording an hour, you know, into the game. So, but we've had a few come through actually. So I'm laughing because the first one, I'm just going to say it's from Zed, but he knows who it is, a regular listener.
Oh, mate, Zed.
Does McRae work at Tasman Meats?
Well, he's butchering it. He is 100%. When we said it, he's butchering it.
Wow, good one. That's
oh, my God. Yeah. He won the hard ball out on, well, the, on the 50 line when he took got crunched in the back, and we kicked it like a, like not even 10 metres, and he got it back and kicked it to the guy who was the man on the mark.
He's really slotted into the Saints player now, isn't he? It was all Australian at the start of the year. Now he's hacking it around everywhere.
When we were talking about, if we track back to our earlier episodes, I don't want to listen to them because we were just all on him.
But he was killing it.
He was, he was. Still, yeah, we were saying best and fairest.
But he's like, he's kicking
is
shocking.
No, but his impact with his kicking was way better.
But he hasn't been a bad kick his whole career, though. He had that left foot right. He hasn't been a horrible kick.
No, but from stoppages, he does hack it a bit, yeah.
Kane Corns is secretly loving this.
Bevo, he gave him the arse and he's rocked up with Frazier and old
Richards.
So you can't complain about
that. Mm-hmm.
Richards, sorry.
He's actually followed up with a second comment here, and I actually agree with this one. Got caught with too many defenders flying for the footy. So there were a couple of times where they clashed into each other. At the end, I saw Caminiti and they're flying Viking, yeah, were going for the same.
They're just so young, so young, right? And they just want to go and impact the game.
Is one meant to stay down, though? One meant to stay up? Because they got caught behind, like when they both went up.
Yeah, if you all go, like, someone's going to stay down. So, But but that'll take time because then they'll know the Vikings just going to fly. So you don't have to worry about it. Yeah. It'll be 1v1, you know, man playing on man, defending his man, and the old Viking comes across. You don't need Caminiti or someone else doing it.
To be fair, I think there's a bit of the people seem to be on the fence with Caminiti. There seems to be a bit of hate about. But let's say his first season,
he's doing a good job. Doing a good job.
Quite happy with him. Playing, I know he has his moments, his Caminiti moments.
Yeah.
But you saw, he did get, like you said, he did get beat on the mark, but then you saw right at the end, he came and punched the ball.
That was nice.
And took off. That's it, man, he's a, like, first year as a key defender playing on the best forward. I mean, he played on Luke Darcy a couple of weeks ago. Who did he play on? He would have played on
Luke Darcy? Where did he come from?
It was a Luke Darcy.
Sam Darcy. No, true. He's had some tough tasks. Yeah. And actually, up to the three-quarter time, I actually earmarked him as my sinner of the round because I think I've used him as a sinner of the round before. And I thought his name hasn't been mentioned tonight in a good way. When you don't hear his name, he's done a good job. But then he got beaten on the lead a little bit in the last quarter when he was spent. But the commentators were praising him for getting around Tyru when Tyru made that kicking error. And I thought, yeah, that's because Caminiti knows the feeling when you make a kicking error.
He's only like,
brother, it wouldn't be a Saints match without an error for McGarry. But he's
that's okay.
We were very forgiving of that Tyru kick, Yoz. But what if Brad Hill made that kick? Would you be as kind?
It was second match in his career. No, but like he won the ball. That's his main thing.
Correct.
Like, in a 50-50 contest, won the ball. Obviously, wasn't the greatest kick, but these things happen.
Fan mail continued. It's Matt King says, I love Tyru. That's the feedback we've got through. Yeah, we're going to get that. One from Lenny. Perfect result with a question. Development for the kids whilst we also maintained our top five draft pick.
I love it. That's brilliant. Couldn't agree more. Perfect. Right. I couldn't agree more, Lenny. Absolutely.
In hindsight, like, we want to get all the wins, but really, it's actually not the worst thing, is it?
Well, you're still only going to get pick 10, though.
The championships are going. Under-18 championships are ongoing.
Yeah, but
I think South Australia won the final, so we have to look at some of the names coming up.
NGA.
There is, that's what it is. NGA is academies, but that's a system at the moment, so you've got to work within that.
Yeah.
Pick out the gems.
I'll choose one more. We had one from Steve Monty. I'll censor it how I best can. Umpiring was effing Kaczynski House.
That's just the way the game's umpired these days.
It was 11-4 free kicks at one point, and there were a couple of questionable ones in the first quarter, but then they evened it out.
The
ruck ones are really frustrating a lot of fans at the moment. It's a lottery at the moment.
Yeah, but that's the same in most games, right? Yep. All of a sudden it's free. It's like, they should just let it go.
Poor Marshall, he always seems to be on the bad end of it.
I went 1-1 with Darcy where he had his arm around when he was
just let it go.
30 seconds later, he got one, so yeah.
Oh, that's a good kick, McRae.
Rowan Marshall had 4 frees against today, speaking on. But he might have kicked the goal of the year, potentially, they're saying.
I was better today, a bit more like old Ro, and he did snag that magnificent goal.
Well, we've been talking a lot about the present and the future. Shall we track back? Sliding doors! We have to ask what if. One of our favourite segments, Sliding Doors, which is where we track back to what could have been. And Yoz, what have you cooked up for us?
Well, it's a very recent one, and it's good that we did bring up the draft because I want to throw it open to debate because I've been on the fence with this guy the whole year, Trevallier. I haven't liked to have them use him as a sub. So he was pick 8. Tyru was pick 10, I think. I think it was a bit in between or something like that. So what we saw the opposite side of the ledger today in Murphy Reed, who's a bit more not as athletically gifted as Trevelyan, but obviously more skilled, a bit more better finisher. He's got that bit of class, bit of magic. Sandy in the Sandringham Dragon as well, which apparently the club are trying to increase their numbers, do that whole Bayside thing that Geelong are going down there. So then my question is, are you happy that we stuck with our two top 10 picks? So we got Trevelyan and Taru, or should we have split that pick with the potential that you could have got Murphy Reed, who went at 18? You could say Lindsay, but Lindsay went pick 11, but there was a chance to take Taru and split the pick and get those two players.
So
two teen picks in the teens.
Was that the male, was it?
No, well, that was the option.
Okay. You could have kept your eighth, or got rid of eight and got two teens.
Yeah, so you would have kept one of your top tens and split the other two for two teen picks.
Okay.
We don't know 100% whether they would have done that, because I think...
And then what, you would have taken Reed then?
Well, you would have been lucky, because GWS actually had two top 20 picks, but they were 18 and 19, mm-hmm. and Reed went 17.
So you might have missed him anyway.
Yeah, and then the other one was, I think it was one of the... Richmond had picked 12.
So why? What about taking Viking at eight and then Reed at 10?
I would have done that.
You know? Yeah, because Trevelyan, I mean, it's a bit of time. We'll see what happens.
Are you saying not without splitting the picks?
Yeah, take him straight up, like for what it is. But look, in the end, I reckon he'll be a good player, Trevelyan. Yeah, I watched him today. I've seen it. He's going to be a good player. Yeah, he'll be 200 games. He will. He'll be a strong, he'll be a bit like Jason Graham, I reckon. Oh, that type of player. Like running defender sort of type. Maybe a bit tougher. But a bit tougher than Grammy, but I honestly think he'll be a really good player for you. I really do. But he's a defender. He ain't a midfielder. No, that's for sure.
That's the same thing, and I've still got.
So
that.
You've literally drafted two defenders.
I'm scarred by that whole Hunter Clark Caulfield thing, where they did same thing. They needed midfielders. They missed out on the top end midfielders, and they picked Clark and Caulfield because they were the next two best players. But they tried to shoehorn them into midfielders, and it just didn't work. So, but we'll see. I'm still on the fence.
Yeah, I'm still hopeful of Trevelyan. I actually felt quite confident down back with him and Taru.
But he's be better than Reed, and you could have got another player, so you could have got three.
Reed looks like he's going to be a serious
Joe
player.
Berry or someone like that.
He's going to be a serious player.
Time will tell.
It'll be an interesting one to keep watching.
All right, I share a nickname with the fear deemed arachnophobia. My surname sounds like the tallest mountain in the world.
Oh, yeah, easy. Yeah. Come on.
That was an easy one. So I share a nickname with the fear deemed arachnophobia. My surname sounds like the tallest mountain in the world.
That's a good one, because we're actually playing the two clubs next week.
Spider Everett.
That you start with.
Peter Everett, for those who didn't get that
Spider
one.
Everett.
Let's get into some fantasy.
Just a very quick update. The brutal bye rounds are finally over, so next week will be a good round where we got full nine games, and we can see how teams really stack up. So we've got a full side of premiums now, which is amazing. I just want to give you a quick update on the Saints players. I said at the start of the podcast, I've got a new fantasy favourite. He is 100% the easiest 100-plus player every week. It's Nosiah Wanganeen-Miller.
Hey, I've had him all year.
Yeah, that guy is the safest fantasy player ever. And I'll tell you why. He was on 12 in the first quarter, and I saw a lot of comments online from the fantasy community saying, oh, no, we need this guy to get over 100 to win my match.
Jumping off the bandwagon after one quarter.
He always comes home strong. He finished with 109 fantasy points. He hasn't scored under 100 in, I think, 6 weeks, and he hasn't scored less than 100, I think, 13 times out of the 16 games. He is just a machine the way he runs. After he takes a kick out, he just runs to get that 1-2 and then kicks it again. So what a machine you are, Naz. As for our update, we're in the top 500, so we've drifted a little bit, but next week will be the first chance we get to stack our premium team against the others.
Oh, it drifted out a bit. He's good for a goal as well, a goal a week these days, Naz, isn't he? So you get that one. But do they actually take points off for clangers? Does a kick? Like, that's the plus and minus with Naz. He's going to bite off a bit too much. You get a few clangers. Does that minus your fantasy points?
Not fantasy, just Supercoach.
Supercoach.
Before we wrap up with our tip against the Hawks, Just wanted to touch on a few things we haven't mentioned yet. Obviously, Jack Carroll being the sub, he came on for, 16% of the game, had zero touches. Nat Fyfe for Fremantle didn't come on at all.
He's a donuts old Fyfe. Mm. He didn't even warm up.
No, he just sat there the whole time. Don't blame me.
I do say this every week, but we have a few people who reach out on Instagram saying they love debating the team selection. Is there anyone that we see going out against the Hawks based on today's performance and anyone you'd like to see coming in from there?
Depends Sandy. If he wants to be Brad Hillian, I guess.
So Brad Hill obviously was out due to illness, and you would say that he would probably come back in.
Yeah, he'll come back in, yeah. Oh, I wonder about Hunter Clark. Is it time to go past him?
No, I reckon it is, Ivo. I'd rather have Boxall then, to be honest.
Yeah, I would have Clark out of the team. I just thought that he just doesn't have that real grunt and that impact and doesn't play with a chip on his shoulder, and you need a bit of like physicality and some presence around it, where at least Hill gives you that sort of run and drive, and I think he's an important leader to keep in the team. So I would definitely go Clark for Hill. I'd make that change. And then is it potentially time to have a look at that next ruckman? Like maybe against the Hawks, because they've got Ramsden, I think, going. They've also got Meek, who's really strong. And Ken Marshall help you out in the forward line a bit? And is this a good game against Meek to bring in Boyd? Because Boyd's a wrestler.
Well, it's interesting. And he's really big. If there was a match that they would bring in two.
Would be this two, yeah, I know. But they didn't do it. But maybe, just to help out a little bit, you get more rotations in. And
Max Heath was good in the reserves. Johnson bagged four.
Okay, if it's Heath, then it's Heath. But I would bring in another ruckman to have a look at it.
The other one we haven't mentioned is Paddy Dow. He made a good return. He had 21 disposals. 13 kicks, 8 handballs, and a couple behinds as well. So
no.
Oh, no?
No chance.
He's actually picked.
He's Sandringham's next captain.
I think he was pick 3 in that Hunter Clark Caulfield draft.
Paddy Dow.
Pick 2, I think.
Paddy Dow.
Pick 2, was he?
Not playing.
Who was pick 1?
I don't think he's at the
Davies
level.
Luke Davies Uniac, Paddy Dow, no. Al Brayshaw was in there. Missed out on all of them.
Good pickup, though.
Well, then looking through the team, I think obviously Keeler keeps his spot. So for those wanting Heath in the team, do we have Marshall, Keeler, and Heath?
Yeah, I would. Yep. For sure. Yeah, because it'll help your forwards. Really will. A couple of tools to mark at it. Because are you going against Battle?
Oh, gosh. Oh, dear. Yeah, that's right. Josh Battle.
So you got Battle and Brass.
Perfect time to go up against Battle now that we've got Tara.
Battle and Brass, right? Gosh, Battle and Brass, the big fellas up there.
They're going to have a field day against us.
So you need a couple of key big fellas up there.
So, looking at the squad then, because obviously there are a lot of players definitely keep their spot looking through the list. But for those of you, you can check at home the stats and look and make up your own mind. But a couple that might be in the chopping block, not saying that they will be, but Liam Stocker, I love how hard he was at it, but 10 disposals. He sometimes is the swing man that goes out of the side.
He was hard. He's hard.
He was great. Contest. I love having him in there. Darcy Wilson returned with 12 disposals. He had a good game last week, but he didn't get into the game.
But he seems to have his pop back where he's getting up and down.
Yeah, he's out of place in that forward line. Yeah. We need to play him more back, but that position is getting taken by Windhager. And then Butler on 6 disposals, but I don't think Collard comes in for him. Collard didn't have much of an impact. And then Cooper Sharman, we can't drop him. I mean, he had 4 goals against Freo last time.
No, you're not dropping Cooper. He's good, yeah.
What about Keeler? He had 3 touches, but 2 goals. Nah, so you got to keep him in.
Yeah,
right?
Keep him going.
It's just interesting, isn't it?
No, you just got to keep playing him now. Yep. Just keep playing him. Just keep giving him game time.
He shows signs, but then I know he frustrates fans as well with his low output. But
he's young. He's young. And he's a tall.
And you got to play. You see, he's actually taking some marks now and having an impact. Like in the first few games, he wasn't even getting near it at all. He wasn't in contesting anything. So, stick with him. He's got a class.
Yep.
All right, let's do a quick round the table and tell us what you think about our game against the Hawks. Maybe just give us a tip, a margin, and what you'd like to see from the Saints.
Saints going to win.
You know the Hawks pretty well.
Saints are going to win? Is it at Marvel?
It's at Marvel.
Oh, the Saints play well at Marvel.
What a feeling.
You got to get 120 marks.
Yep.
Minimum. And to do that, you can't – well, you can stack the mids and jam it up, but you're going to have to get it out quickly and find the marks. But so, because obviously Hawthorn were really strong in the midfield on the weekend, and they smashed the Kangaroos, and they were all up and about. But how's Jack Gunston playing so well? Unbelievable. Unbelievable 7 goals. He's PB at the moment, flying, and he's getting older. So, they're going to be difficult to match up on, but Saints got to mark the ball. Keep it off him.
Yours.
Oh, they're going to win. Saints will win.
How can you say that?
I just got a feeling.
You're normally right. You're normally on
no,
the money.
I'm not normally right. I just got a feeling. Hawks came. North Melbourne had an easy run. We had a tough match where we were a bit unlucky. The Compton's up and about. Taru's in there.
That'd be huge.
Got a bit of a buzz back. That's it.
The Vikings gone off on episode 20.
Man, I got a bit of positivity back in. I was struggling a bit during the middle of the year, what was going on, but Tari's got me up.
Big boy
about.
Months.
It'd be nice. It'd be nice.
I got tomorrow off. I'm going to go down and get that number, get it put on. Are you ready to go? When's the match?
Two weeks ago, this bloke was burning his membership.
Yeah. No, I would never burn the membership. I would never that dramatic.
You were going off here, mate. You got
a Tiger fan or a Carlton fan burning the membership?
We've now got a segment called The Chef's Nice. That's how crazy you were. Now you're going for a walk down the street to get a number on your back.
I am a Mentari, man.
I could see us having a real crack at the Hawks. I actually think we might match up with them okay. But one thing that really concerns me is how well they draw free kicks. And you know it better than anyone.
They're shocking.
Yeah. Dylan Moore, Jack Ginnivan and Nick Watson. I have a feeling they're just going to con Wilkie, Caminiti into drawing a few of those frees.
But someone defended him really well the other day. And it was hilarious. They were literally like hovering over him and waiting for him to dive into them. And then they just sort of... Nothing happened. It was the weirdest thing ever. And they referred the handball and then they tackled that guy.
Yep.
So it's almost like you don't tackle him.
No, that's right.
Honestly. Just take him to the ground. Let's slide him down.
Well, just to go back to team selection, that would mean Webster will be back in.
Yes.
Because they're small forwards.
Is he fit?
He was being managed.
One of Lyon's favourites as well.
Well, then what you might find is Webster comes in, Trevally gets pushed to the sub, which Yoz will hate, and then Carroll goes back to the reserves.
That will happen probably, yeah. Yes.
I feel like I've tipped the Saints pretty well this year, and I cannot see a way that we beat the Hawks. I just cannot see it happening. Our kryptonite is tall intercepting defenders, and they've got two of the best in the game with Tom Barras and a man called Josh Battle. So how our forward line just beats theirs, I have no idea. Not to mention
who's
the athletic forwards I have.
Be interesting. He's going to go to Owens.
He'll go to Owens, sure. Yeah.
I'd love if we put a performance against Brass him, like we did against Collingwood. We'll just hang in there, but then they'll take it away. Play. All right, that brings us to the end of Saints or Sinners. If you liked what you heard, you can hit the follow button on Spotify and or Apple Podcasts so you get notified when we upload a new episode. Thank you for hanging around and continuing to support our page. We love the DMs we continue to get through the Saints or Sinners Instagram page. Joining us next week on Sunday night as we discuss our game against the Hawks. We play them next Saturday night at Marvel, but we'll be recording next Sunday. Until next time, have a great week, stay strong, and we'll see you next time on Saints or Sinners.
Now when the Saints marching in, marching in. I win the Saints go marching in. Marching in. Yes, I'm